Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I'm your host for today. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking on the phone with Michelle Van Oort Cousin. She's the author of Irish Twins, a story about life and death, sisterhood, and forgiveness. This is a story of unanswered questions when the mother dies too quickly. It's also a compassionate story that takes us to look at our own lives and address the issues such as relationships with siblings, grief, afterlife, and ultimately forgiveness. Please stay tuned because today we're going to be addressing all of these issues as they pertain to our own lives. But first, a little bit from Michelle. According to her popular humor blog, Michelle Van Oort Cousins is an author, resort owner, jewelry designer, wife, mother, soccer mom, and a great big voyage. Her degree is in journalism, and she has worked as a reporter, feature writer, editor, and newspaper columnist. In 1993, however, she set aside her journalism career and, together with her husband, purchased 45 acres in the Northwoods of Wisconsin and turned them into the world's first disc golf resort. 10 years into the adventure of creating Sandy Point Resort, Michelle wrote her first book, I'm Living Your Dream Life, The Story of a Northwoods Resort Owner, which continues to be a big seller for her publisher, McKenna Publishing Group. Her newest book is a novel called Irish Twins, and that's, of course, what we're talking about today. And according to Michelle, it's her most profound work to date. It's available on Amazon.com as well as Barnes & Noble and other media outlets. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Irene.
Well, it's sure great to talk to you. Our reviewer loved your book, and I can certainly understand why. It just really delved into relationships between sisters and just so many other things. And this is one thing that we are going to be talking about. So I know that our listeners are going to be really, really interested in hearing what you have to say, specifically about your research that you did into Irish twins. Let's talk about that.
Well, I've been familiar with the term Irish twin since I can remember because I am an Irish twin. I was surprised to learn how many people have never heard of that or didn't know what it meant. Irish twins is a term used for two children who have been born to the same mother within a 12-month period. My sister and I are exactly 11 and a half months apart. She's her birthday is October 13th, and mine is October 28th. I happen to be the elder of the two, but for 2 weeks every year, we like to think of ourselves as the same age. So as far as research goes, being familiar with the term was my jumping point for this book when I knew I wanted to write about sisters, a pair of sisters. But when I looked into the origin of the term, I was surprised to learn that it was a derogatory term. And it came about back in the 1840s when the Irish potato famine happened in Ireland that sent about 1 million immigrants to the United States, and the shores of Boston and New York, for example, were flooded with Irish, and many people are familiar with the signs that were posted that said Irish need not apply, and the derogatory names like Mick and Dirty Irish came up. But this was based on the fact that the Irish were willing to work for maybe a dollar an hour and took all of the jobs and were taking the jobs away from people who either had already had them or had been in the United States for a while. And so a series of derogatory terms came about. Irish twins was one of them, which in a nutshell mocks the fertility of particularly Irish Catholics who didn't believe in birth control and had many, many, many children. I was one of five children, tail end of a brood of kids, and my sister and I were not born until my parents were in their 40s. And so we fit the term perfectly, I think, but no one in, you know, our age group, I was born in 1960, no one mocked us. It was pretty common, actually, where I came from, in a Catholic neighborhood in the Chicago area, which is where my book takes place.
Well, that's very interesting. I did not realize that it was a derogatory term either. And so I'm smiling because our children are only 7 months apart now. They weren't born to the same mother. We had our daughter is ours from birth, and then we adopted a child. So I understand, you know, being a mother of two kids that are so close together. And I'm just wondering how your experience was, or if you've ever talked to your mother as to having these two daughters that were so close in age and the challenges that both you and as sisters went through, or as your mother. Was that ever discussed?
To some degree, it was. We just knew we came from a big family, and frankly, it was an ideal situation. My father was a blue-collar worker in the Chicago suburbs, but we never wanted for anything. We thought we had it made. It was a wonderful suburban area. We took great family vacations. In the story Irish Twins, I depict a place, a fictional place called Mitten Lake, which is based on a lake in Michigan we went to as kids called Cory Lake in southern Michigan in a town called Three Rivers. So we never really felt like we were deprived from anything until we got a little bit older, and it wasn't so much about my sister Gail and I being Irish twins or going through the same thing at the same time. It was more about my older siblings were gone, off to college. One of them even got married. My oldest sister got married at the age of 20. And we were left behind when my father was quite ready to retire. He had a house in Missouri, wanted to leave, wanted to go. And so we felt a little short-changed in our parents' attention. And so, whereas, again, never wanting for anything other than just getting the attention. It was almost like he was tired of raising kids. He was tired of his job. He wanted to retire and play golf and go off and just get his life back. So that was probably the biggest thing that we faced as a challenge as Irish twins born late into our parents' lives. But one thing I do want to say about my mother is she always claimed that Gail and I kept her young, and she never regretted having babies after the age of 40 because she loved that. She loved that part of her life. She loved being a mom. She loved raising us, and she loved still being involved with the younger kids because she had already experienced the pain of the older ones going off and leaving her.
Yeah, I can just well imagine. And so, obviously, then, you and your sister, Gail, were very close then, were you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we still are to this day. Unfortunately, she lives up in Oregon, and I currently live in Tucson, Arizona, so we don't get to see each other as often as we'd like. But we were very close, tied at the hip. We fought like siblings do. We're not exactly alike. I was much more outgoing and athletic than Gail, although she kept up pretty well. But she really was the proverbial younger sister, really trying hard to keep up with me. I know I cast a pretty big shadow, not only because I was a foot taller than her, but because, you know, just kind of I always march into a room and sort of own it, and Gail was just a little bit shyer, but she is a beautiful girl. I mean, so pretty, and everybody loved her, and she was always elected princess of this and homecoming, you know, court and all of that, and I never had that. Nobody ever liked me like that.
Too funny. Were you in the same grade?
No, we weren't. I was a year ahead of her.
That of course, helped, but it did in our children, too, although they were so close apart. Our daughter was in a grade ahead, and I think that sort of separated them and made them individual, too. So I think in this case, too. So, Michelle, you just mentioned that you had a really close relationship and still do with your sister. And so how do you feel that relationship growing up so close to her really prepared you for life outside the family?
Well, I see this in my own daughters. I have two daughters who are not Irish twins, but they're 2 years apart, and they're very close. They are each other's first choice always for everything. My daughters are Willow and Camille, and if Willow's doing something, Camille wants to be right there with her. And I'll just give you a quick example. This summer, we spend our summers in Wisconsin, and Willow, we wanted to send her to soccer camp away for a week, and it turned out that the camp was during the week of Camille's birthday. And, oh, my goodness, Camille just dropped. I mean, her whole expression was devastated that her older sister wouldn't be around for her birthday. So we changed the camp. We went to a different camp to accommodate her. So my point is the same thing with Gail and me. I always had a partner. I always had someone that is either looking up to me or somebody I could take care of or somebody who gave me a sense of approval and a sense of worth. And so in spite of whatever may have happened to me at school or whatever relationships I may have had with a girlfriend or a teacher, I always knew that I could rely on my sister Gail to be there and to support me and back me up. So I'm sure that's what prepared me in life. And it also taught me how to fight. And again, I see that with my own daughters. I mean, they were fighting over a belt last night, over a stupid belt. I thought, girls, please. But it's so normal to do that and to teach you what the important things are to fight about versus what is really frivolous and silly. And I think siblings in general learn that, but particularly close siblings who are experiencing the same things at the same time, getting dressed for school or going to a birthday party or going away to camp or something like that. And Gail and I had that every step of the way, right until the time we were 16 and 17 years old.
I was born as an only child and raised as an only child. So when I'm listening to this, I cannot relate because I didn't have a sibling to be able to share with or fight with or whatever. And, you know, it's looking back, it's really important, and that's why we want more than one child ourselves because there are so many things to learn. When we had our own children and they were having this sibling rivalry, and I'm thinking, you know, I didn't understand what was going on. Like, what's with them? I do remember, you know, cousins and stuff, you know, fighting with each other. But I never gave it any thought until I was a mother myself. And just, you know, you brought up this point of the importance of learning so that it does prepare ourselves for life.
It does, absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of my sisters, my oldest sister, Mary Beth, has three boys. And she's 9 years ahead of me. So I've had some wonderful role models. And to this day, because my mother is dead, I always turn to my older sisters, particularly my sister Mary Beth, for advice and to just share things that I'm going through now with my teenagers. But I remember when her three boys were little, and I'd ask just a casual question about, well, how are the boys doing? And she'd answer me, well, they're fine. They beat each other to death daily. And I was horrified, but you know what? I get it. They just roll around on the ground like puppies and they get it all out.
You had just mentioned that your mother has died.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, that your book is sort of written from the perspective of the fictional version of your mother.
That's right.
And let's talk about that. Give us a little backstory on how you were able to do that.
Well, my mother died in a rather extraordinary way, and I thought it was a story worth telling. My mom, who was a tiny woman, she was probably by the time she died, I think she was only about 5 foot tall and weighed 85 pounds. In her heyday, she was 5 foot three and a half. She was very important that she had that half on there. It was her little exclamation point, I think. But she was a water skier, and my parents lived on a lake. They lived on a lake in Missouri. In my book, the couple, Ann and Michael Shields, live in Michigan. However, my parents actually lived in Missouri. And my mother, when the weather was right, she water skied every day. And she skied on one ski, and it was a small lake, and my father would just cruise around the lake in circles every day, and everybody came out on their decks and their piers to watch my mom ski. Because she was 80 years old, and she was this tiny little thing, and she did it every day, and she just, you know, minded her own business. Well, on the day of her death, which was back in July of 1999, she's been gone for quite a while now, she was skiing, and I tell the story almost exactly as I know it to have happened. In Irish Twins, I use my main character, Ann Shields, as my mother. I recreate it from my mother's, what I imagine to be my mother's perspective of what it was like to be in the water, waiting to get up on her water ski on just another beautiful July day, nostalgically missing her children who are all grown and gone and smelling the smells of summer like copper tone and dirty beach towels. And she looks up into the sky and looks at the sun, and that's when she feels a pop in her head. And she experiences what is ultimately a massive stroke to her brainstem. And this is what happened to my mom. And my father pulled her from the water and brought her to the shore, where a couple of the neighbors who were out watching her ski, you know, helped with CPR, and they had a helicopter come. They lived in a pretty remote area of Missouri, about 70 miles southwest of St. Louis. But nevertheless, they had a helicopter come and airlift her to the hospital, where they put her on life support, and it gave all of us, my four siblings and I, the opportunity to get there, to be at her bedside. So I there was no chance that she was coming back. She was definitely brain dead, and we were able to donate her organs, which made us all feel better. And being able to be there to say goodbye to her was quite helpful. So given this extraordinary death, I thought, you know, some of us give thought to how we're going to die or how we're going to go, and I've many times heard people say, oh, if I just die in my sleep, I'll be happy. And I think my mother passed in a way that was peaceful for her. She was doing what she loved to do most. I believe that all of her children and her wonderful husband were on her mind, and I just sort of followed her through the process. And brought her into heaven. And the story Irish Twins, I take it from there. I make her experience be something wonderful. And I just give her the opportunity to examine her life and explore her life. And it's actually her form of judgment that is the story of Irish Twins. She's judging her own life as she sees it, as she re-experiences it, and also through the eyes of her children that are left on Earth, including her own set of Irish twins.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Michelle Cousins. I know by now you've been thinking about your own life and how it pertains to some of the things we've discussed already. Stay tuned because there's going to be more. You can find out more about Michelle on MichelleCousins, that's CoZZENS.com, MichelleCousins.com. Michelle, so you went through her death on the Earth plane, and of course you went through a grieving process at that time. And so I would imagine that once you started writing this book, bringing her back basically to life again, did you have to go through another grieving process?
Oh, did I ever.
Did
what
you?
What a shock. It actually shocked me what happened to me emotionally. I started writing this book in my head years ago, and I had no idea that it was going to be told from the perspective of my dead mother, or, you know, the fictional version of her. I wanted to write a book about sisters, but I just need to clarify one thing where that's pretty important to the story, and that is when I started writing it, I was writing it only from the perspective of the Irish twins who are still alive, my sister and I, and the versions of those who are Kaylee and Jenny. And in this process, my living cousin, my cousin who is 70 years old, had a terrible motorcycle accident, and she had a brain injury and ended up in a coma for an entire summer. And I was on the phone with her son throughout the summer, counseling him and grieving with him and advising him. And when my cousin was very close to death, and we knew that that was going to be the case, I tried to imagine her passing over, and I thought, well, my mother is going to be there waiting for her with a cup of tea, because these two, her niece, had always, they always drank tea together. And so that's where I got the idea to make my mother part of the story. And I had, when Ann Shields dies and goes over to the other side, I have her greeted by her Irish twin with a cup of tea. So that's where that came about. And so once I brought my mother into the story and I started workshopping this material on a website that I use called thenextbigwriter.com, everybody fell in love with Ann, and everybody wanted to see more of Ann. Ann. They didn't really care about my Irish twins, my living Irish twins, Jenny and Kaylee. Everybody wanted Ann. And so I just started channeling the voice of my mother and the life of my mother, and I was reliving her whole life from what I knew about it. Now, unfortunately, my mother was very tight-lipped. My mother did not share a lot about her life with me or any of my sisters or my brother. And so that's what makes this book fiction, is because I had to make most of it up. but I went to bed with her on my mind. I felt like she came to me in my dreams. Whenever my character Anne spoke, it was in my mother's voice with her delightful Boston accent that she never let go. And so that propelled me through it. And it was wonderful. And I felt like she was right with me the whole time. Well, another year goes by, and it was just last February where my family left to go on a ski trip. They left me over President's Weekend. My two children and my husband went up to the White Mountains to go skiing, and I stayed home because I was just determined to finish this book. I was determined to get to the end, and I did it. And I did it on a Friday afternoon, and I got up, and I did a little tap dance, and I was so happy, and I called my girlfriend, you know, who was going to come take me out for a little celebration. And then I hung up the phone, and then all of a sudden, was as though my mother had died all over again, because I felt like I had to let her go. And that was harder than it was the first time. It was devastating, and I was crying a lot for a couple of weeks, and it actually took me a while to understand what I was going through. But it was a resurgence of the grief that I felt when I lost her, but it was almost matured. It was almost like the final truth that, no, I don't get to share this story, Irish Twins, with my mother, and I don't get to see her again. And it hurts. It was hard.
I can well imagine. There's a couple things that you had just mentioned, and you said that you channeled the life of your mother, and then you said it was fictional. And
yeah.
So it's like, gosh, Michelle, was it really, do you feel that it really is fiction, or did you really channel and, you know, for writing's sake, we have to call it fiction?
Well, I can understand how that sounds like a contradiction. I should clarify and say I was channeling her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I wrote anything about Anne, it was in my mother's voice. And I took little tidbits of the things that I did know. I knew about her wedding day. I knew that my mother, who was a war bride, she lived in Boston, and my father was in the Coast Guard. And he would come. I knew how they met. I heard they met at a dance. I didn't exactly use that. I had them meet someplace else. But I knew that my mother's girlfriends thought that my father looked like Van Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used that. I mean, I used what I knew. But I, for example, wrote about Michael and Anne's wedding night. Well, I wasn't there.
Right.
And so I had to make it up. Further, my mother had a sister whose name was Ellen, but I had never met her, and they were not Irish twins. And I really didn't know much about Ellen's life at all. And so all of that is fiction. All of Molly's life, who is Anne's Irish twin, is made up. But through my mother's voice and almost through my mother's counseling, I felt like she was helping me along a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And so, afterlife, do you believe in afterlife?
Well, I do now. I honestly hadn't given it any thought until I started this book. I'm not one to go to seances. I'm not one that necessarily believes in reincarnation, although I do see so much of my mother in my youngest child. Camille was born before my mother passed away. And so that's not, you know, reincarnation. That's simply family resemblance. But now I think it's a fanciful thing that I do like to believe in. And my Catholic upbringing obviously comes out in the book and has a lot to do with what I believe may happen after we pass. I do believe in judgment and living a good life, and I do believe that if you have led a good life and a kind life and a generous life, that you will reap the rewards of an eternal peace, whether that means you're walking around in heaven, body and soul, and you're going to be seeing your dead loved ones. It's still pretty hard for me to wrap my mind around that. That's still sort of just a lovely thought that I think those of us left here on Earth use to get through our grief. And essentially, that is what Irish Twins does. It was a whole exercise for me, ultimately, to deal with my grief and to believe my mother is looking out for me and that she can still be a part of my life and I can still talk about her and keep her alive, or at least her spirit alive, by believing that she's there looking out for all of us.
And it's comforting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely is. Now, Michelle, your book, Irish Twins, the subtitle for this book is A Story About Life and Death, Sisterhood and Forgiveness. And we've touched about life and death. We've touched on sisterhood. What about forgiveness? What role does it play in the book? And, you know, how does it sort of relate to relationships in general?
Well, forgiveness is the central theme of this story. I think every character in the book at some point discovers that they have to forgive. They have to forgive themselves, and they have to forgive their siblings, and they have to forgive their parents. This happens for Anne, as well as for Jennifer and Kaylee. And Anne, when she gets to heaven, or the place we call OHR, O-H-R, which is what I used to call a version of purgatory. It's kind of an in-between place where her judgment is taking place. She has to forgive herself for what she feels are a lot of mistakes that she made on Earth. She, for example, chooses to follow her husband, Michael, to their retirement home in Mitten Lake, Michigan. And she essentially leaves her young Irish twins behind at a tender age. They're only 17 and 18 when she leaves them. And Jennifer comes home from her first year of college and finds a for sale sign in the front yard of her house, and her parents are gone. And her sister Kaylee is living there alone with her high school friends surrounding her. And they definitely, there were consequences because of that, and so Anne needs to see what role she played in those consequences and learn to really see the positive aspects of how her children were left behind, but how they ultimately thrived because they were forced at such a young age to survive. Anne also has to learn to forgive her own father, who left her and her sister Molly when they were just children. During the Depression, his business failed, and he took off, and they never saw him again and didn't know why. And so she has to come to terms with that. Jennifer and Kaylee, back on Earth, are having a bit of a falling out as they approach the age of 40 and their mother is gone, and they are kind of sick of one another. And they are starting to drift apart because of even who they were. Kaylee's very dependent on Jennifer, and Jennifer starts to resent Kaylee because of it. Kaylee's marriage falls apart, and she's not exactly thriving, and they need to learn to forgive one another for even just falling apart. They also need to learn to forgive their parents for essentially abandoning them at such a young age. So through all of the self-discovery that Anne is going through, the Irish twins on Earth, Kaylee and Jenny, are going through as well as they mature into middle age and as they deal with their own children and their own circumstances. And so forgiveness, I think, in any relationship, for it to thrive or for it to move forward, we all betray one another in some small way or in some big way at some point. And if we can't forgive, the relationship ends. And so this story has to focus on keeping those relationships moving forward.
I can just imagine that a lot of readers can actually parallel to this story. I mean, you know, you as the writer, much of it is true fact, you know, from your own life. But I can, after listening to you, I can really see that readers can parallel their own lives. And so I'm wondering, Michelle, in all this research that you did, the part about your mother, about your sister, just this whole concept in writing and doing the research, did you have any unanswered questions answered?
I never doubted that my mother loved my sister and me as much as she loved her other children, and I never doubted that she loved being a mother, and I never doubted that she loved her husband. I also came to understand that my mother put her marriage first. And now that I've been married for 21 years and I have two kids, and I'm very happily married, I need to add that. Part of it is, I mean, the kids are great and I would lay down on a railroad track for them, definitely. But I understand now, and it wasn't just in writing this book, it's about my own experience, but I understand now the importance of putting your husband first and putting your marriage first. And I understand now why Anne left with Michael to go to Mitten Lake, because guess what? My mom left Brookfield, Illinois to go to Missouri with my dad when I was 18 years old and my sister was 17. I mean, this is fact. This is what happened, and this is what I gave to my characters. I know why she did it. She did it to keep her marriage together, and she essentially lived to the end of her days with her man, where all her kids trotted off. They all flew off to different corners of the country, and they will do that. Your children will leave you. And we raise them that way. We raise them, we educate them, and we tell them, okay, now go off. Fly the nest and start your own lives. So that book, for me, Irish Twins, was an exploration in that, and I do understand it a lot more now.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. Michelle, what is your website address?
Well, it's my name, michellecousins.com, and my name is Michelle with one L, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, and Cousins is C-O-Z-Z-E-N-S. So michellecousins.com.
Great. Thank you so much. And I know that our listeners have just been glued to hearing you talk, because you've talked about some very important aspects of relationships and parents, grief, and afterlife, and, you know, the bottom line of forgiveness. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure for me to talk to you.
Well, it was my pleasure, Irene. I appreciate your interest in the story and in my work. Thank you.
And there you go, listeners. We were just talking to Michelle Cousins, and she is the author of Irish Twins with the subtitle of A Story About Life and Death, Sisterhood and Forgiveness. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.